Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday as the Nuggets shook off a 22-point deficit at home. Methodically came back, rallied, and beat Toronto 125-119. Nikola Jokic, I'm running out of superlatives. I'm running out of adjectives. Another triple-double, 35 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists, 6 steals, 2 blocks. How about Jamal Murray? 26 points and 12 assists for Jamal.
I don't overthink it. I've always been a passer. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to play point if I couldn't pass, right? So now it's just looking to mix it, put it together, and pick my spots, especially with how good of our team is. I don't have to go and score every single time. So I thought everybody did a good job of just sharing the ball and waiting for their turn.
Man, there were some great assists in that game last night by the Nuggets. Jamal had a couple going to the and then, you know, kicking it back to Aaron Gordon. The Joker had it behind the back to Aaron Gordon. That was just ridiculous early in that game. Couple scooping scores, like the just going to the rim by Jamal. I thought that comeback was fun to watch, man. It was good.
What I love about the way they execute down the stretch is the trust that they show. Like, we just got done watching them beat Boston in this so-called NBA Finals preview. And down the stretch, the ball just goes into Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown's hands. They don't give it up. They just try to play hero ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's Jamal, who's driving, kicking back to KCP for a three. He's on the far right side, out beyond the three-point arc, and he sees great court vision. He sees Michael Porter Jr. all the way over in the left corner.
Yeah.
Zips a pass across, knocks down an open three, effectively puts the game away. It's just that, it's that unselfishness and trust. They all have trust in each other, and boy, that's huge.
It really is. It's amazing. Like, again, just the way they play, and not only the trust, but just the excitement they have setting each other up. And I just thought that that whole thing to me was just fun. They're just a damn good team. That's all. They're a damn good team.
Second down.
Broncos, a free agency, do want to pass along. They did something today in terms of clearing up more cap space as they restructured the contracts of Zach Allen and Ben Powers to clear up another $20 million of cap space. So they have money to spend. They spent yesterday. They got a safety in Brandon Jones. They brought back kicker Will Lutz. They made a bid for Sam Darnold, who chose the Minnesota Vikings instead. So what do you predict happens today? Still get that quarterback?
Well, yeah. Well, first off, let's just go ahead and you guys, the text line is open. You guys can apologize to us.
What do you mean, apologize?
Well, I mean, you know, all the fear mongers. We're not going to have any money to spend. There's no way we're going to overcome this cap hit. Oh, my goodness. The sky is falling. Chicken Little. Yeah, we didn't get our quarterback. I get it. But I've told you forever, it's fake. It's Monopoly money. It is fungible. You can do whatever you want with it. And just lo and behold, all of a sudden, another $20 million, you know?
Just magically appears.
They got a money tree in the backyard, for crying out loud. Where do they go from here at the quarterback position? I don't know. Obviously, it looks like they're going to get into the draft, and they're going to have to draft one of these guys.
Well, let's revisit that one.
I just hate the fact that, well, they're going to have to take one at 12. Anyone, just any of these guys. I just do.
Well, again, we'll talk about that because, to me, it's, well, we'll describe it. We'll get into that coming up.
All right.
Third down.
The Avalanche kick off a road trip tonight. And if you're paying close attention to the standings and you're wondering about first round matchups and home ice, maybe this is a good time to just kind of reset where the Avs are. They are currently third place in their division.
Okay.
Behind Winnipeg by 2 points and behind Dallas by 4. So, play the old, if the playoffs were to begin today, they would be opening up a first-round series in Winnipeg.
Okay, let me ask you something really quick. You always get mad at me when I give the scores backwards.
Uh-huh.
You just said they're behind Winnipeg by 2 and then Dallas by 4.
By 4.
Should be Dallas is the leader. They're behind 4 points to Dallas and Winnipeg to 2.
It's not doing this. It's not as egregious as you doing the scores backwards, which just is like, God, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard for me.
You're kind of doing the same thing.
This is more, I'm more highlighting the Avalanche situation. So rather than saying Dallas leads the Avs by 4, I'd rather bring it solely from the Avs' vantage point that the Avs trail Dallas by 4.
So you're saying the Avs are down there, they're looking up.
They're looking up at Dallas by 4 points.
And they see Winnipeg there, but just over Winnipeg, they see Dallas.
Correct.
All right. I don't know. It seems like the same thing that you criticize me for all the time.
Not really. Avs have won 3 in a row. Dallas playing well right now. They've won 5 in a row. So the Avs in Calgary tonight are reunited with Naz Kadri. So that'll be fun.
Calgary.
Finally.
1, 2, 3. 4th down.
Hey, don't look now, but the DU Pioneers, who had basically a .500 season, mm-hmm. below .500 in their conference, doesn't matter. You get hot. During conference tournament week, you can find yourself in the big dance, and that is where DU finds himself 1 win away, as they will be playing at South Dakota State tonight.
I always felt that was goofy.
Yeah.
You can be bad all season long, and if you just get hot during the tournament.
Well, let's talk about that, too. I want to get into that, because
that just
kind of struck a nerve there for me. So you'll be able to hear that game tonight on 104.3 HD3 starting at 7. So good luck, Pios. That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the local scene. Yeah, coming up next, what is next for the Broncos and the idea that they will have to settle for a quarterback at number 12? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless bill and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
And resetting, reviewing what's going on with the free agency. The Broncos have cleared up more cap space, some $20 million, restructuring the contracts of defensive lineman Zach Allen and left guard Ben Powers. So they did that. See what they do in day 2 of free agency. Already today, the running back market is starting to thin out, as we've seen a bunch of moves. Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles. Wonder how he's going to feel when Jalen Hurts keeps poaching touchdowns from him down by the goal line. And then you've got Austin Eckler, gone, leaving the division. See ya. Not going to miss you. I'm glad you're gone. He goes to Washington. Josh Jacobs goes from the Raiders. Again, good. See ya.
Right. Yeah, he
goes to Green Bay.
Right.
Aaron Jones goes from Green Bay, signed today with the Vikings.
Yeah.
So, honestly, you look at what happened with the Broncos on day 1 of free agency. I think it was a good day just because they got Austin Eckler and Josh Jacobs out of their division.
That's a good point. Still disappointed about the quarterback situation, that they didn't get Sam Darnold. That one still stings a little bit.
Yeah, you wanted him.
Yeah.
You wanted him. So, we had Mike Kliss on just a few minutes ago, and he said that if he was leaning as to what they're going to do in the draft, he thinks they take a quarterback at 12 while recognizing the difficulty in moving up. So here's what I think is going to happen. So you tell me if this is a scenario that you see playing out. I see 4 quarterbacks gone by
6.
I was going to say 6.
Yeah.
So Williams, May, Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. There's just too much buzz around McCarthy to think that he's just going to be sitting there at 12. I see some quarterback desperate team moving up. They have the capital, moving up to get him. So that would mean the Broncos staying put would be settling for either Bo Nix or Michael Penix. First question. Does Sean Payton strike you as a settle for a quarterback guy?
No. He doesn't. Does he to you?
He's not one of those, hey, I need a quarterback. Draft a quarterback, any quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means picking somebody that wasn't necessarily my first or second choice. Do you think he he doesn't strike me as
he
that kind of guy.
He doesn't strike
either.
Me as any quarterback will do. Just, you know, he doesn't strike me as that anyone in the first, anyone of the, I mean, if the 2021 quarterback class isn't a red flag on any quarterback, just take one, then I don't know what is. I mean, like, you can't do that. There'll be one guy still with his original team at the end of this thing. As all these musical chairs fold out, there's going to be one guy. He's still a question mark. And that's, you know.
Sunshine. Trevor Lawrence. Well, yeah, not only should the 2021 be.
2018. That was going to be the new class 83.
Well, and don't count Lamar Jackson, because we're talking about all these quarterbacks that are going to go high up in the first round. Right, we're not talking about quarterbacks that are going to sneak at the end of the first round. We're talking about all the rush to draft these guys high up in the first. 2018 was a disaster from that standpoint. Four of the five that got taken that early, or three of the four, excuse me, that got taken that early, again, all not with the team that drafted them.
All right, let me throw a name.
Josh Allen's the only one. So, I don't think Sean Payton does not strike me as a pick a quarterback, any quarterback. So, If McCarthy, if four of the five are gone, and I don't think Michael Penix is going that high in the first round. I just don't. But if four of the five are gone, I don't think they take a quarterback there.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just throw a name out. Justin Fields.
Well, somebody said, go trade for him. He's young. He's uber talented. He gives the fan base the same hope that a high draft pick would give. Draft capital to acquire him would be minimal.
Well, his draft capital is certainly, they thought they might get a first rounder for him.
And this texter says, to me, he has the upside to be Josh Allen-like.
If that were the case, take on the Justin Fields debate. If that were the case, then why wouldn't a quarterback-starved league with dozens of teams, let's just say with half the league, let's call it half the league, 16 teams that have quarterback questions. If he was all that, why would all of those teams say, nah, I'll pass? Because he's been on the block now. You know, there was speculation Pittsburgh. There was speculation Atlanta. People don't want to pay him. People don't believe that Justin Fields, as currently constructed, can win from the pocket. And the only conclusion that you can extrapolate from that is that people don't believe he ever will.
Let's stop.
Am I wrong?
No. Well, no, you're not wrong. But let's stop with the Justin Fields here talk, because Sean Payton just clearly showed that he's not interested in coaching a quarterback that doesn't play quarterback the way he wants. He wants a quarterback who can slice and dice from the pocket, who can process, who can make quick decisions, who can throw people open, who can throw into tight windows. Justin Fields in 3 years in the NFL has yet to throw for over 2,600 yards in a season. In a league in which, man, the league is giving every quarterback a free invitation to throw for 4,000 yards or more, Fields hasn't cracked 2,600.
Yeah.
He's got 40 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in his career. He's been sacked on average over 40 times per season. Does that sound like a Sean Payton fit? We always seem to come back with Payton with the whole the fit word, right? Is it a fit? Russell Wilson wasn't a fit for Sean Payton. You really think Justin Fields is a fit for Sean Payton?
Yeah, I don't think so. I do not think so. Man.
Now, if I didn't have a coach like Sean Payton, or if I didn't have a coach like a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan, if I didn't have one of those, you know, really dialed in, you know, today's modern NFL young coordinator, head coach type, yeah, I might take a flyer on Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it, now it's only going to cost me a fourth or a fifth round pick, probably a fifth round pick. Sure, I'd do it. Why not? But if I have one of those coaches, I just don't see it's going to happen.
Do you think ESPN is struggling right now because they try to anoint Justin Fields? The fact that Justin Fields doesn't, the market seems to be shriveling for Justin Fields.
The league's speaking, man. The league is speaking that until we see evidence to the contrary, you better be able to win from the pocket. It's nice if you can make plays with your legs, but until you prove conclusively that the arrow is trending up, that you can be able to operate from the pocket, and Fields has had 3 years, clearly yeah. The NFL's spoken. They don't see it.
Yeah.
Not right now. Not to the point that they're going to give up a high draft pick and trade for him and have to pay him, all that kind of stuff. No way.
Yeah, I like get a great. What do you think about them trading out of 12?
I don't see Sean Payton taking a quarterback that he doesn't love. I just don't.
I don't either.
I just don't. I think we learned too much about Sean Payton this year. That this guy's got a healthy confidence / arrogance that he said it at the combine. We're counting on the fact that we know the quarterback position better than most other teams do. Does that sound like a guy who's just going to take a quarterback, any quarterback?
No.
No. So, hey, maybe it turns out that they're sitting at 12 and Bo Nix is there, and Bo Nix was the guy Sean Payton loved all along.
Let me ask you this. You know, we talked about to Mike Kliss about draft capital. So let's say they want to move up J.J. McCarthy. They know they can get J.J. McCarthy. They can jump up over the Giants. Let's say yes, the Giants guy, whatever. Do they not only trade, swap 12 for whatever, but would they throw PS2 in the mix?
Well, let's talk about that. Let's do that as we get into what's trending. A lot of reaction nationally to Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. A lot of debate about where Russ is at this stage of his career. You'll hear some of it next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Denver Nuggets rallied from 22 down to beat Bruce and the Toronto Raptors. 125-119. Michael Malone, a lot different sounding Michael Malone. Instead of ripping the team in a game in which they blew a big lead and won, he took a different tact in talking about his team that rallied from a big deficit to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to been there, done that. Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing if you've never been down 20 and come back and won, you'd be like, oh, can we really do this? There's a little bit of doubt there. For our guys, I don't think there's any doubt at all. I think we know that we're always within striking distance when we defend as well as I know we can. And then offensively, we're capable of putting up big, big numbers in a hurry.
The old Zach Byline, two things can be true at the same time. These last few games, save for the Boston game, in which everybody was locked in for 48 minutes, you're seeing signs of a team that just wants the regular season to be over and get onto the playoffs. And yet you're also seeing signs of a team that has enough championship ego and pride not to lose games. And so you're getting these stretches during games where they're just mentally check out, but they're talented enough and prideful enough to still find a way to win basketball games.
It's going to be interesting. This four, I think it's a four-game road trip. 9-1 out of the break. You had him at 20-7
going
the rest of the way. I had him at 21-6.
I made the mistake of listening to Malone when he talked about the whole, hey, we're all big picture.
But they've had a bunch of games at home. Like, we're going to, you know, see this four-game road stretch. What do they got, 17 games left, something like that? I'd have to do the math.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Because you had it at 20-7.
Yeah.
Or 9-1 right now.
You're going to be better than that. So they go on the road. They play at Miami, at San Antonio. It's a neutral site game, but it's in Texas. It's on the road. Then they're at Dallas, at Minnesota. No, they actually only have, and I'll count the San Antonio game as a road game. They only have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 road games left. So they still have more. It's just about an even split of home and road down the stretch. But no, I think they're going to do better than what we were originally talking about, 21-6 and 20-7. That's when I bought into the whole we're playing for the big picture. It's not that at all. They're going after the number one seed. Of course they are. Of course they are.
I love it.
Of course they are.
I love it.
So the leftovers from that Celtics Nuggets potential, everyone talking about as a potential NBA Finals preview. Well, Bill Simmons on his podcast with Ryan Russillo, they talked about the gap that exists between the Nuggets and the Celtics.
But when you have Jokic, all of that makes sense. A player like Aaron Gordon makes so much more sense. A cutter who is as strong and as good a finisher. And oh my God, the putback dunk Aaron Gordon had, not to mention the lob, might be incredible the dunk of the year on top of everything else. So they just have everyone so perfectly placed around him. And when your core guy can be trusted to make offense and then really make NBA basketball look so easy, this is where you beat historically great regular season teams, you go on long playoff runs, you win finals, you win finals MVPs. It's really looking like Denver's angling in that direction again.
Yeah, I said on Sunday's pod, I just feel like the road goes through them. If they're going to be healthy, I don't see how a team beats them 4 times in 7 games.
Yeah.
I think they could beat them like Phoenix did on Sunday night, where it's like, oh yeah, we got their number and we beat them in OT. But to beat them 4 times when they can execute at the level they can execute at is pretty nuts. Is Jokic climbing the ladder for you?
It's a great question, because I wouldn't say he's doing a lot this year that is over and beyond who he's already been.
It's 3 straight years of it.
That's
now.
The thing.
I mean, really, like 3.5 years of it. The team around him is better.
Climbing the ladder, by the way, climbing the ladder quickly among the all-time greats.
Where does Simmons have him in the MVP conversation?
Oh, I think
four?
No.
Three, four?
Simmons.
By the way, that wasn't Russillo.
Simmons gets it. Oh, it wasn't? It said it was...
Yeah, that's Simmons, but that's not Ryan.
Oh, wasn't?
No.
Well, that's what it was. That's what it was might
have been. It may have been on Russillo's podcast and somebody guest hosting for Ryan.
I see.
But that was not Ryan Russillo. No. I can get him on. You want to get him on? You want Ryan? Ryan's got a great podcast. I was on it just a little bit ago. And a great, he's a great basketball guy.
Yeah, at some point we should definitely do that.
All right.
Absolutely.
We'll do that.
Okay. Sounds good. A very entertaining back and forth between Dan Orlovsky and Dan Graziano on ESPN involving the debate over Russell Wilson.
We talk about Russell Wilson like he's a cast off. I don't understand it. Maybe you don't like the personality. Maybe you don't. And maybe you don't like the noise that he brings with him or the persona. That's your opinion. Have at it. But if we have to be fair about what the player is or who he is on the field, the last 4 years, he's got like 110 touchdowns and 30 picks. The conversation around him has become stupid.
We talk about him like he's a cast off because he is a cast off.
Yeah, they keep casting him off.
Because
teams
financially,
in the last 2 years have cast him off.
Financially, right? We're talking about it like
Denver's paid him anyway. Like they're not getting any financial break by casting him off. They have to pay him $39 million regardless to play for somebody else. Look, man, like I'm just saying, you're talking about facts over feelings. Like Denver cast him off. Like that is
Sean
actually
Payton
true.
Cast him off.
Who?
Sean Payton, the head coach, didn't want him anymore, right?
Sean Payton, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Right, I said Denver, right? Yeah. Right, I said Denver?
Yeah, neither one of you is wrong.
He's a cast off.
He is.
He was cast off by Seattle. He was cast off by Denver. And the two teams with two head coaches with a combined 330 regular season wins and two Super Bowls, decided not only they didn't want this guy to be their quarterback, they were willing to eat a combined $111 million of dead cap to do it.
Why does he not throw? Why does he not throw picks? Dan, why does he not throw picks, Dan? Why? Because he takes deep shots one-on-one, and then he throws it behind the line of scrimmage. In the last, since 2005, nobody's thrown it behind the line of scrimmage more than Russ. Hard to pick the ball off when it's going sideways behind the line of scrimmage.
That'll do it for What Is Trending. Lot to react to. Broncos free agency, Nuggets, Avs on the road trip. We'll open up the RamosLive.com text line, 303-713-1043. Also,
yeah. Let me ask you, do D linemen lead the league in interceptions every year? No, they don't, because they don't intercept the ball. Lord have mercy. Just the excuse making from quarterbacks, former quarterbacks on television is nauseating.
Up next, Mark wants to ask for your apologies. We'll find out why. And the Deion Sanders effect in full bloom in Boulder. We'll give you the latest example next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, Mark, hate doing this. I guess this is the time that you can step forward, pat yourself on the back, remind everybody why you have your own island, and ask for apologies. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, tweeting out this morning that with the roster restructuring, contract restructuring for both Zach Allen and Ben Powers, they freed up another $20 million of cap space. So the Broncos now have $43 million in cap space. They have the 9th most cap space in the NFL going into day 2 of free agency. Man, the fear mongers are quiet right now. So go ahead, take your victory lap. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I told you so. I told you it's funny money. I told you it's monopoly money. I told you it is fungible. I told you that it's a soft cap. I told you not to worry. I told you they'd be fine. And yet I heard on this station, around everywhere you turn, oh, they're not going to be able to do anything. The dead cap money on Russ. Oh, James Maryland, we should just keep him. Otherwise, what's going to happen?
Tell me you guys got that.
Oh, my gosh. So we're fine. We're in good shape. Yeah, does it suck to have to eat that money on a guy who can't play? Yeah, it does. But I told you that. So what else was I right about? I was right about that. What else did I tell you about one free agent quarterback that they'd be going after because he is that good and he had a year of rehab and, you know, and he was going to be a coveted guy? What did I tell you? Anyone? That's right. I told you Sam Darnold. All you people. But Sam Darnold, he's a failure. He couldn't play for the Jets. This is Sam Darnold. Got you on that one too, didn't I? Welcome to my island, people. Welcome. Oh, you're so arrogant. Yep, because I'm right. It's not arrogance if you're right. If you're right all the time, you know what it is? It's just being right all the time.
You are right, Mark.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Adam. So I will start accepting your apologies on the text line right now, RamosLaw.com text line.
This is not going to go over well.
I'll just start accepting your apologies. I want them to start like, Mark, you are so smart and I am so dumb. You are so right and I am so wrong. I would like to apologize to you.
Well,
something like that.
Tell you what,
it
then.
It seems to me like you're the expert, Mark.
If you are so right about everything, well, then gaze into that crystal ball of yours and tell me what the Broncos do next.
Yeah.
At the quarterback position.
That one.
Crystal ball a little foggy?
Yeah, right, the crystal ball is a bit foggy because I had a guy. Unlike, you know, some people in this town, pick any one of them will do.
Okay, that's a great point. I'm glad you just, because that just tripped something here.
Okay.
Their interest in Sam Darnold, to go along with what we already know
mm-hmm.
with Jarrett Stidham, to what we already know what he didn't want in Russell Wilson. Does it give you, first of all, a clearer idea of who he might go after either in free agency or through a draft pick, a trade, here during free agency before the draft? Does it give you even a clearer idea that if you look at the quarterbacks out there, I'm just going to start tossing out names that are still out there, from Jameis Winston to Drew Locke to Sam Howell to Zach Wilson.
I don't think they want to give up draft capital.
Even if it's a fifth round pick?
No. I think they're going to want to, I mean, they just got a fifth and sixth rounder for Harry Hootie. Jimmy Judy got him a fifth and sixth. What a great first round.
By the way, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, a couple more.
All right. So the guy who I think most resembles Sam Darnold.
Say it.
Go Sam Kennison.
Say it. Come on, say it.
Drew Locke.
Yeah. Woo.
Drew Locke would be my next guy.
Wow. Oh, make it happen.
The Lockinator.
But I keep coming back, and the same thing kind of applies to the pursuit of Sam Darnold. If you're going to go out and sign one of these guys, trade one of these guys, and you already have Jarrett Stidham, I don't see the idea of then going out and drafting a quarterback high up in the first round. Because the moment you draft that quarterback in the first round, he is immediately on the fast track to starting. Either immediately or by week, five or six or something like that. So what's the point in having, I get the value of having one backup veteran quarterback, but two?
Well, do you believe in Stidham?
Well, his money's guaranteed.
So you go full Whitney Houston on him. I believe that Stidham is the future. Coach him well and let him lead the way. You think that's the case? Because I don't.
I mean, it wouldn't be a crusher to cut him, of course. Still be a $7 million cap hit.
The cap is fake, so yeah, that's great.
Okay.
I just don't think that Stidham is your... I don't think you're going in to this season with Stidham and a backup quarterback that you drafted, wherever you drafted him.
Well, if you draft him in the first round,
a rookie quarterback. I don't think you're going in with Stidham and a rookie. Whether you draft him at 12.
Why not? Is that any different than a lot of teams? The makeup of their backup quarterback with quarterbacks that they draft in the first round is that much different?
Yeah, because Stidham is a inexperienced journeyman.
Well, I would have said the same thing about Jake Browning in Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. He was behind Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow goes down, and Jake Browning steps up, plays pretty well. Is there really that much difference between Jake Browning and Jarrett Stidham? At least on the surface, when you first look at it?
No, but have we seen anything in Stidham that would make you think he's got, that he's going to be, explode on the scene?
No, but have I seen enough of him to think that he can be a... traditional backup? Why not?
Right, that's what I'm saying, a backup. So
but to a high draft pick, why not?
I still just don't see it that. I just don't call
but
it
I don't, but I don't
the
see,
eyeball I, test. Call so, it the gut feeling. I just don't see Stidham as saying, hey, let's have Stidham be our bridge guy for 6 weeks. Because if that was the case, wouldn't you just dumped Russell after week 9 and just said, hey, Stidham gives us a better chance to make a run? Maybe you just felt like you got to prove. I don't know. I don't know why you did what you did, but well, it just seems to me if they are, and they clearly are interested in bringing in a veteran quarterback, as evidenced by their interest in Sam Darnold. What does that tell us about how Sean Payton views the overall quarterback situation? Is it simply, if I get one of these guys, as soon as I get one of these guys, I immediately cut Jarrett Stidham? Because otherwise, I just don't
know.
I've
got two quarterbacks now with the idea that if I don't get the quarterback that I want in the draft, I'll just go with these two.
I think you get another quarterback, and then you still are looking in. Like, if you went out and got Drew Lock, you had Stidham and Drew Lock to compete, and then you traded back from 12 mm-hmm. and went deeper in the draft because you've got to accumulate some draft capital. And Mike, there's going to be six or seven. This may be the number one draft in the history of the draft of first round tackles drafted. Like I don't know what the record for offensive tackles taken in the first round, but this draft may set that record. So you mean you could say, hey, I could get a guy that is going to be a lockdown for us for the next 10 or 12 years at the tackle position, and I can pick up a second rounder, and then I can go after, hey, my guy Dan Rauscher, who used to be my offensive line coach and my tight end coach, is the coach at Tulane. I know Pratt better than anybody else knows Pratt because I've got the inside track and the inside information, and I'm going to take him and develop him over the next year while, you know, Jarrett Stidham and Drew Lock battle it out for starting QB.
Yes, under that scenario, yes, I could see that. I could see that. But if you draft a quarterback in the first round, come on, you're not going to.
If you take, let's say, for instance, you take, you know, the guy that's there that's available for you.
You take Bo Nix at 12.
And it's Bo Nix.
Yeah.
You take Bo Nix 12.
And he's playing by week six at the earliest.
Yeah, you got to get him in there because he's already 30.
Right.
Right. You got to get him in there because he's already in his QB prime.
He's going to be collecting Social Security before you know it. So get him out there.
Right.
Wanted to bring up this story. This is cool.
All right.
I think we all understand that Deion Sanders' arrival at CU has had a huge positive effect, right?
That would be a big correct.
Big correct. Well, it goes even further than that.
That is correct.
University of Colorado, this is from the Daily Camera. University of Colorado has received a record-breaking 68,000 applications for the fall of 2024 so far, about a 20% increase from last year. Applications from Black and African American students are up about 50%.
Wow.
So football
doesn't matter to universities, what you're saying. Gee whiz willikers.
Right? Well, same thing happened. You can go back over the years that Nick Saban was at Alabama. How much out-of-state enrollment went up. Out-of-state applications went up. And it was the Saban effect. So you're seeing it, and it's why Deion Sanders is worth every penny you pay him.
Mm-hmm.
He's worth all the power you give him. And I know that there are some of you who don't buy Deion's act. You think he's a snake oil salesman. You think he's the Wizard of Oz. You know, he's just pulling levers behind the curtain. Doesn't matter. We have seen so much evidence that college, big time college football, it's not about coaching anymore. Right. You're seeing coaches like Nick Saban. Do you think Nick Saban is still coaching at Alabama if there's no transfer portal and NIL?
Yes.
Absolutely.
100%.
We're hearing coaches, college coaches, say they can't wait to get out of college. They're trying to go to the NFL so they can just coach again.
I've told you it's the exact opposite. Baseball, the transverse has happened where professional baseball coaches trying to get to college because it's a truer form of baseball. They actually bunt runners over. You know, I mean, they actually play baseball. They're trying to get out of the professional game where college coaches are trying to get into the professional game because of the college. The hoops you got to jump through. Every time you say, though, Daily Camera, I can't help but think of the Buggles.
The Buggles?
Yeah, what were they famous? What were the Buggles famous?
Buggles were famous for the first ever song video that played on MTV.
Yeah.
Video killed the
radio star.
Radio star, yes.
But they also had a song called I Am a Camera. I am a camera. Camera, camera.
All right. You got to find it.
E-ah.
There you go, guys.
I am a camera.
There you go, Ro. Get to work on that one. Find
so
that one.
Whenever you say daily camera, yeah. I think of I am a camera.
But that's...
Camera, camera.
So not only is Deion the perfect coach for the modern day college football, but as tends to be the case, and you can point to any big time program, big sports program at college. It's Duke basketball. It's Kansas basketball. It's whatever the big time sport is. The effect and the positive effect it has on the overall university and getting people to come. I was at the Cuse as a freshman year. They went undefeated in football and went to the national championship in basketball.
The Cuse did not go undefeated in football.
They did. They went undefeated in a tie in the Sugar Bowl against Auburn. Pat Tie-Dye was what we derisively call him to this day. But yeah, they were really good.
Okay.
Moose Johnston.
Yeah, Moose.
Was there. So anyway, that next year, after they went and had a great football season and a great basketball season, applications went up. They had their biggest freshman class ever. So the Deion effect in prime effect, it's why if you're a CU booster, dig deep and make sure this guy doesn't go anywhere.
So you did something. Okay. You like that?
I actually kind of do.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. I will never let you go. I'm a big Buggles fan, man.
I sincerely thought they'd only put out one song. So,
you know who turned me on to the Buggles?
Who turned you on to the Buggles?
Guy by the name of James Merritt. He's from, his parents were from England. And so he had all the English music when I was in high school. He's a dentist in Hawaii, I think, now. I am a camera.
Yeehaw. This is KKFN.
I automatically do the robot.
Yeah, you just
right
did
here.
The robot when you did that.
I am a camera.
This is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.